financial technology, fintech. We want to understand the nature of the new digital world, crypto world that's being constructed at this time. We can do that by looking at a number of key aspects of new core development in the financial markets. We're going to specifically look at CoinTech, private digital coins, central bank digital currency, super apps, super applications, and super tech, decentralized applications and dApps, application program interfaces and APIs, decentralized finance and DeFi, game finance, GameFi, non-fungible tokens, NFTs, decentralized exchanges, DEXs, decentralized autonomous organizations, DAOs, and we'll also mention the metaverse. We're going to build a metaverse, a multi-net, and a value net, and to the extent we have time, we'll also look at robotics, artificial intelligence, biotech, and nanotech. This is a new beginning. This is a new time with a new frontier. We have a new opportunity, but also a new responsibility. We have entered a new era in terms of technological advance and financial, social, and technological evolution. We are, however, only at an early stage of advance. We are still at a largely paper-based or physical economy, a mechanical economy, a carbon-exhaustive economy, a highly inefficient, labour-intensive-based, more traditional industrial economy, with all of this forming part of an increasingly fragmented and dislocated global economy. The Russian astrophysicist Nikolai Kardashev identified three core types or levels of civilization in 1964, which were later extended to six classes of civilization. This included level one, which consisted of controlling the energy of the planet. We haven't even done that. We can't even move away from carbon exhaustive, depletive, dilutive systems. Level two involves managing the energy of local stars and suns, and level three, the energy of the galaxy. The American physicist Carl Sagan has stated that we are only in our technological adolescence, infancy, only at around 0.7 of level one on the Kardashev scales. Other writers such as the Japanese futurist Michi Kaku have reset this in terms of knowledge economies, but still we're only at the very beginning, only at almost an infantile stage of technological advance. We are therefore at a relatively early stage of technological adolescence. Still, we have so much further to go, so much further to evolve. We have to build a new future, and all of this is conditional on new technology and future technology, which we can do. What we're going to begin to do is to look at some of the core aspects of the new financial technology, fintech, regulatory technology, regtech, and pure technology, tech, underlying all of these changes. Fintech rising. We're building a new world. It's run by digitalization, decentralization, disintermediation, dematerialization, monetization. Those are the benefits of the markets themselves in terms of our own personal choice and use of technology, mobilization, personalization, socialization, localization, and democratization. We're constructing a new world run by very exciting, new, powerful platforms in the technology area. We talk about unicorns. That's a new technological team, program, website, platform worth $1 billion. We have decacorns, $10 billion. We have hectacorns, $100 billion. We also have minicorns, $1 million, and then what they call a sunicorn. The joke is a sunicorn is something that's aspirational, about to become a minicorn, $1 million, but then very quickly these will grow into unicorns, decacorns, and hectacorns. We describe the new world in terms of fangs, beggars, misfits, and bants. Fangs: Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, and Google. Beggars: Box, Etsy, and GoPro. Misfits: Match, Fixbit, Twitter, Alipay, and Square. And then the Chinese bants: Chinese Baidu, Alibaba, NetEase, and Tencent. Very quickly, the world's going to be dominated, run by a very small number of very powerful technology companies. In the West, we have Facebook, Amazon, Google, and Apple. In the East, we have Alibaba, which owns Alipay. We have Tencent, which owns WeChat. We have JD.com. We have Baidu, the largest insurance company in the world. And then other very large, powerful, emerging technology companies going forward. We're building a new world. And it's all run through technology, but we don't even understand a number of the core basics, such as information, data, digital information, digital data, digital property, digital remedy. Digital data itself. We were at a 1 zettabyte world. That's 10 to the 21 by 2010. 2016, it was 16 zettabytes. 2018, 18 zettabytes. By 2025, we were expected to arrive at a 60 zettabyte world. That's 10 with 21 zeros after it. We now expect that to increase to 175 zettabytes. The digital world, there's 3 billion websites, 3 billion users, 4.66 billion pages. We produce new data, 1 zettabyte per year. Back in 2016, it's now over 2, maybe 2.5 zettabytes. There's 305 trillion pages of text on the internet. 11 trillion years it would take you to download. Google, 5 billion searches every day. Facebook, through Instagram, WhatsApp. And Facebook itself, which has now been renamed Meta, they have 3.4 billion account holders. That's a third of the world use one account. We actually think that WeChat is the most powerful, large, single, super application, super app in the world, because everyone can do everything they need to do from when they're born to when they die on a single app. Running your bank accounts, booking taxis, buying food, managing your pension, flights, hotels, everything on a single app. This is the power of the new super apps and the new super application world that we're constructing. And then we've still got the Internet of Things, where we connect all of the digital devices in the world together. There will be 200 billion devices connected, estimated by 2020. That will explode again over the next 10, 20 years. And that's even before we begin to talk about the metaverse. We are going to build a multi-net. We're going to build what I also call a value net. And we'll come back and look at this. We live in a new technological biosphere and a new data biome. In terms of digital coins themselves, there are now over 330,000 private digital coins, beginning with Bitcoin, launched by the anonymous Satoshi Nakamoto on 3rd January 2009. 30,000 of these coins. At its peak, this market was worth $3 trillion alone. What I've done with this, we cannot look at all 30,000 coins, but what we can do is this. We can construct a 12-year template. We can look at each year between 2009, 2010, up until 2022. We'll divide it into 12 parts, and then in each year, we'll look at the key coins, the key new tokens, and the key new innovations and exciting developments which occurred in each of these areas. So Bitcoin and Bitcoin variants, we've already got. These are hard forks and soft forks: Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Bitcoin Gold, Bitcoin Private. Early Bitcoin correction: Namecoin, Tenebrics, Litecoin, and Swiftcoin. New consensus and layering: Peercoin and Bytecoin. Digital coin extensions: Dogecoin, Gridcoin, and Primecoin. Payment systems: Ripple, then TransferWise, and then Stellar. And then an anonymity: we have Dash, Aurora Coin, we have NEO, New Economic Order, we have NEM, Monero, and Tether. These are just some of the most important, exciting coins around. We then move into smart contracts. The big main competitor to Bitcoin is Ethereum, although smart contracts began with NXT before that, and now other coins such as IOTA. The whole point about Ethereum is that it's not just a coin system, it's smart contracts, it's online digital applications. It's effectively creating an Ethereum virtual world whereby all the nodes and the computers connected in the Ethereum system all come together to create effectively a global supercomputer. We call that the Ethereum network, the Ethereum virtual world. But this isn't just for coin and payment. This actually runs a whole series of new applications using smart contracts and automated code function. This is future of the new world. Other exciting specific coins include, for example, IOTA. IOTA has its own device called Tangle. Tangle is called a DAGE, a directed acyclic graph. Everybody talks about this new world in terms of distributed ledger technology, DLT, but we also have graph technology. Blockchain is part of DLT. All a blockchain is, it's a group of transactions. We limit the transaction formation, maybe, for example, Bitcoin, every 10 minutes. Every 10 minutes, we close the block, we lock the block, and we build on a new block. That's why it's called blockchain. You can limit them in terms of transaction numbers, more commonly transaction size. Litecoin, for example, is every 2 minutes. Bitcoin is every 10 minutes. So what you do is this, you have a block of transactions, and you close and lock the block, then you start a new block, then you start a new block, then you start a new block. The Bitcoin blockchain is now it's enormous. It's something like 21,000 blocks, growing by the day. Every 10 minutes, we have another block. Anything between 1 and 4,000 transactions per block. The way the system works, it's through a reward system based on proof of work, POW. All the nodes, which are computers all around the world that are connected on the Bitcoin network, they download the full blockchain, so it's got full functionality with a full copy of all the records. They compete. And every 10 minutes, one of them wins. And they have to calculate a number, it's called the Merkle root, and we can come back and look at all of this in further detail. They compete every 10 minutes to calculate the Merkle root. And the first node to do that around the world gets a reward. The reward used to be 50 Bitcoin. Now it halves. Every 4 years, it collapses by 50%. So it was 50, then 25, 12 and a half. I think it's now 6 1/4. But still, at one point, a Bitcoin was worth almost $50,000 plus. So six times, that's over $300,000 that you would generate every 10 minutes. That's why these nodes compete. There's over 1 million nodes on the Bitcoin network. We also have, as I've said, directed acyclic graphs. The problem with Bitcoin and blockchain is that it takes time to validate the chains, validate the transactions, and load and close the blocks. Bitcoin can only do around 7 transactions per second. MasterCard and Visa can do 26,000. The future isn't blockchain. The future isn't blockchain technology, it's graph technology. And that's what IOTA is trying to develop with a couple of other coins such as Spectre and some others. Graph technology, you just create transaction chains. They're binary chains of transactions which is run in lines. They're called directed acyclic graphs. Directed means they go one direction. Acyclic, they're not allowed to loop back in themselves, and it's just single continuous transaction chains. We think that's the future, because that avoids all the limitation and scalability problems with the blockchain. There are other ways of running blockchain. We have something, for example, called Lightning Network, which allows blockchain transactions to work off the network and then come back on again. So you can create private transaction chains off the network, and then every now and then, maybe a day, 2 days, 3 days a week, you go back on to the network and settle the transactions. We call that the Lightning Network. Effectively, it's a form of surrogate graph. It's a kind of like partial graph type system. The long-term future will not be closed, heavy blockchain. We think it's probably going to be graph technology with things like IOTA. IOTA's exciting, it's important, it's graphs called the Tangle. We understand, however, it still doesn't quite work yet, and they're still working on this. We also have sovereign coin experiments, Decred, Bitcoin, Waves, Zcash, and zero knowledge proofs, which means you prove that you know something without revealing what you know, and we can do this mathematically. We have other digital coin experimentation, Isozio, Qtum, VChain, scientific applications, Cardano's and Kodak. Countries have tried to use it, although that was largely to avoid United States sanctions. In Venezuela, we had the Petro coin, Petro, and Petro gold, Petro dollar. It was to try and avoid inflation, limit inflation in Venezuela, but also was largely to avoid American sanctions. It's failed. It hasn't actually worked that well at all. We have other new extensions such as Binance, Tezos, Tron, Metronome, which are all trying to do different things. Tezos was trying to develop new governance systems. Metronome was designed to be an interchangeable coin so that we could change value, switch value between all of the different coins that they were creating. Why have a new BIOS system full of over 30,000 coins if you can't exchange them one for each other? There is a technical device called an atomic swap. An atomic swap means, for example, if you have Bitcoin blockchain and Ethereum blockchain, you create temporary accounts on each side. You debit one, credit the other, and it's an atomic swap. It's atomistic. And what that means is this. If the conditions for the transfer of the funds go through, you switch the values. So one goes down by, let's say, one goes up by one. It's atomistic, which means if the condition's satisfied, you switch the transfer of the values. Atomistic means if the condition isn't satisfied, it all cancels. It's called an atomic swap. These are devices that we can use to transfer value from one blockchain to another, such as Bitcoin and Ethereum. All of this is coming, all of this is growing, all of this is expanding. Bitcoin itself was launched by an anonymous programmer called Satoshi Nakamoto, very famous, on 3rd of January 2009. No one's ever found out the identity of Satoshi Nakamoto. We think it's basically, principally, an anagram. It's Samsung Toshiba Motorola Nakamichi. Satoshi Nakamoto. The philosophy behind it, however, is based on, we think the Nakamoto is derived from Tominaga Nakamoto, who was a famous Japanese philosopher in the 1500s, who was basically pro-market, deregulation, minimum government control, which reflects a lot of the ideas of the early cypherpunk movement behind a lot of these crypto experiments in this new crypto world that was built, in particular, in California in the 1970s onwards. The more humorous aspect of this is that the Satoshi element, we understand, we believe, is actually Ash Ketchum from Pokemon, which reflects the gaming origins of a lot of this new world. We actually believe that this is the greatest minds in Bitcoin. This is actually a photograph taken from the Facebook page of a famous American programmer called Nick Szabo. It is only speculative, but highly possible, bordering on the very likely, that a team of the gentlemen around this table are Satoshi Nakamoto, possibly led by Nick Szabo. There may have been a slightly more, there may have been an other gentleman involved, such as Adam Back, may have been the technical leader of the team, but I, from what I've read, the most authoritative, accurate theory is probably that Nick Szabo was the key technical designer behind the team that launched Bitcoin back in 2009. Nick Szabo himself had actually designed BitGold 10 years earlier. He's a computer programmer. He's also a lawyer. He was studied at George Washington University. There are specific books and articles I can give you links to which confirm and validate this. We are building a new world full of these new crypto assets, whether it's private digital coin, official central bank digital currency, private tokens, or other digital assets. We can try and understand this by constructing a new architecture, a new technical architecture. We can do that in 12 points with decentralization, asset digitalization, identity digitalization, authentication and access cryptography, title transfer, transaction hashing, verification and consensus, blocking and locking, private wallet provision, interoperability, and code control and governance. And what we can do is this, use this architecture to try and explain all of the new digital coins, digital assets under development, under construction at this time.